My values and my ideals make me what I am. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My values and my ideals make me what I am. How often have we thought about the ideal person, the ideal being, the person that we would like to be, the person that represents who and what we are, the person that represents all of the finest and the grandest possibilities that we can be? We think about it, maybe not as often as we think we think about it, but we think about it. And we think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be an Adonis or a Terpsichore, some beautiful being, some beautiful physical body, some person in history, some person that has demonstrated magnificence according to our looking at them. Would we like to be an Adonis? Would we like to be a Terpsichore? Would we like to be a beautiful body like that? Would we like to live in a body like that, rather nice, you know, positive, beautiful, dynamic, healthy body, able to do all of the magical things that a healthy body can do? Well, every time I think a thought, and I think a thought relative to something that already exists, I limit myself. Yes, that's true. I limit myself whenever I think of something that already exists. If I think of Adonis, and I would like to be Adonis, this beautiful figure of a man, presumably a beautiful mind, presumably a winning personality, very charismatic person, would I like to be that person? Well, you'd say, surely, that'd be rather nice. Would I like to be that person, though? Because that person is already a predefined person. That person is already a predefined body, a predefined mind, a predefined world, really, that that person lives in. Adonis is ancient history. What sort of person do I want to be? What sort of values do I have? What are my ideals? Well, from a purely outer point of view, I might say I like to live in an ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'd like to live in a body that's ideal. Every cell of the body is ideal. Every cell of the body is immortal. Every cell of the body is absolutely perfect, perfectly formed, perfectly existing. Every cell of the body does exactly what it is designed to do in its perfect form. The ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to speak, the ability to smell, the ability to touch. Eyes, ears, nose, and throat, the ability to have the five senses or six or seven senses, however many senses we say we have. Each one of those senses ideally able to do whatever it wants to do, whatever. I can hear what's going on the moon if I want, merely by putting my concentration there, my attention there. I can hear what's going on in my heart merely by putting my attention there. You say, well, sort of, yeah. Sort of. I can use a stethoscope and listen to my heart. I can use electronic devices to listen to what's going on in outer space. Yes, I can use my imagination to think about what's going on. I can use physiological instruments that tell me what's going on. But is this what it's really all about? when I stop and think about it, I think, okay, so I'm listening to outer space. That's a equal thing to think about that isn't going to boggle my emotions or my politics or other things too much. I have the ability to do that. But why can I do that? Why can I listen to what's going on in outer space without any electronic instruments and know that I have an accurate picture of what's going on in outer space? Well, I know that because I am all. I am the allness. I am outer space and I am here. I am inner space and I am here. Wherever here is wherever I'm thinking. Truly, truly. Are we intuitive? Oh yes, that's a word we're familiar with. We're intuitive. We have the ability to intuitively think about something that we do not physically touch, know, or have. Or maybe we do touch, know, and have it, but we intuitively think about it and think about its grandness, its uniqueness, its wonder. Now, we're in now, as I think such a thought, that my ideal cells, my ideal body, my ideal mind, how does an Adonis fit into that? How does an Einstein fit into that, or a Mozart? How do these grand and glorious beings fit into my visualization of myself as an ideally expressing physiological, mental, metaphysical being that lives in the here and the now, expresses and knows and is in the here and the now? How do my values come into place on this now? Do I think that I am superior to somebody else? Do I think that I have talent and genius that another person doesn't have or may not be expressing at this moment? Do I think that I am better than they because I have this? Because I am tuned into it? Because intuitively I know? Because intuitively I understand what's going on in my universe and in the universe I have created about me? My values are what make me what I am. I love unconditionally myself. I think I'm a very wonderful person. Unconditionally, I love myself. I must do this if I'm going to unconditionally love the world. For it's only with what love I love myself that I have the capacity to love my creation and to love all that exists around me. So as I love myself unconditionally, and as I love all of my world unconditionally, I live in a pretty wonderful world. I live in my inner world and my outer world and my total world, and I'm the allness. And I am both the stars that shine in the heavens, and I am the earth upon which I stand. These are broad concepts. These are concepts that we say we really don't know too much about. And yet, if we were honest, we would have to admit that we know all about it. For whatever our thought may be, whatever my thought may be, that's what it is. If I think that a car is red, a car is red. If I think a car is green, a car is green. A car is blue, a car is blue. And you say, well, what is. Well, no. What I see is. If I were colorblind, I wouldn't know the difference between the colors, would I? And if I choose to have any particular color be demonstrated, that color is demonstrated if that is what my choice is. And you say, well, that's illogical and unreasonable. Well, really? when we make the light to shine in a certain way, if we take away the red from the light, what do we see? If we take away any color that's shining through a spectrum, we see a different series of colors, because each color affects all the other colors. Each color reflects and affects what's going on. It's sort of a magical, mystical thing. You think, that's not right. What is, and it cannot be changed. But it is. All we have to do is block one color, and then we affect all the other colors. All we have to do is block one sound, one note, one level of tone out of the sound spectrum, and we affect all the sounds. If we take away the bass sound, the tenor sounds fine, the alto and the soprano sounds fine, but the bass sound is missing. And there's that fundamentalism that stands there, that it belongs when the bass is there. And when the bass is not there, the whole musical scale takes on a different aspect to it. And the bass can be there or not there, as we choose. If we have the ability in hearing, if we lose certain aspects of our hearing, we might lose the aspect for high pitches or low pitches. And why are these things lost? Are they really not there? Or is it just that we do not hear them? Our life is an expression of what do we hear and what do we not hear? What do we see and what do we not see? And because everything always is, the entire spectrum of sound, of color, of all aspects, entire spectrum of intuitiveness. What Mozart heard from the universal consciousness, we hear. And because Mozart was able to write it down, and because musicians have played what he played, we hear what he heard. Now, can we hear what he heard without having his interpretation or his gathering forth of that fact, of that issue for us, so that we might hear that music too? It's always there. The music is always there. Everything is always there. It's a matter of what do we tune into? If two people are having a knockdown, drag out argument, and it's a very irritating thing to hear, can we turn it off? Oh yes, we do all the time. We turn on our radio stations or television stations and we tune in to certain programs. We know that certain programs are going to take place at a certain time of the day. And so we listen to them. But we're not home at certain times of the day, so we record it, and we can listen to it when we come home. How wonderful that is. Now, we have taken a segment of information out of time and space and made it available to us to hear at our convenience, and yet it is being heard at our convenience exactly as beautifully, competently, fully, as though it were at that moment being played for the first time. We have in us the ability to live in allness, because the allness is who we are. We are that allness, we are that isness, we are that grandness. We are expressing this magical beingness, because that's who we are. Do I want to be some pre-described form, figure, sound? Or do I want to be me? Do I want to be some fabulous expression of who I am, my own charismatic being? We look at creatures on television, and we hear them on the radio, we see them in the movies, we see them in everyday life, and we say, oh, what a lovely person. I would like to have their talent, their charisma, their genius. Well, we have their talent, their charisma, their genius. We have all those things right now, but we are not drawing it forth. What is it that allows that person to express that charisma? That person unconditionally loves themselves and expresses that charisma. Now, let's take a person who is called an actor, and he is a stage screen actor. And he reads a part. He reads a script. And in reading this script, he is nothing more than reading the script. And then he reads the script again, and then he says, I could play that part. I could pretend that I am that individual. And so he says, hey, I'd like to play that part in your movie. May I do that? And you say, well, let's hear how you would perform in playing that part. And so I get up and I perform in playing that part. And I put my whole heart into it, just as I would imagine the character that I am performing or playing is. And I imagine what his charisma is. I imagine what his outer expressions are, what sort of attitude he has on his face, what sort of expressions he has. I imagine those things, and I forget me, and I am that person. From what I interpret, from what I read of what he says, acts, and how he does. And then the stage director, he listens to me, and he hears what I do, and he says, that's very good. He doesn't say that's perfect. He says, that's very good. He said, now, in this aspect, he has a little more attitude, he has a little more anger, and in this attitude he has a little more love. Now, do you think you could project those aspects? Sure. So, you know what the director wants you to do in that character. It's not how you interpret that character to be, but it's how the director interprets the character to be. Now, if the character itself were to come onto the stage and be itself, it would not make the director happy, because the director is hearing certain aspects coming out of the character that the character may not have so dominantly coming out, or may not even be in the character. But the director feels that he wants it from that character, because he wants that character to portray a certain aspect of beingness. You and I go through life every single moment playing the role of various characters. And when we know that our parents want us to act in a certain way, we act in a certain way. It may not be what we want to do, but we act that way because we want to get the good feelings of our parents. And then we're with our peers, and we act in another way. And some people might call it a silly way, but in acting that way with our peers, that's our experience that we're putting on in their presence. And if we didn't act the way we did, we would think they wouldn't recognize who we are. And yet, we can be many different characters, even with our peers. Because when we're playing a game of sports, and we want to let the other person win so that they continue playing the game of sports with us, then we let them win, which puts us into a totally different picture. And putting us in a different picture, we have a different attitude about ourselves. And having this different attitude about ourselves, we reflect a different personality. And reflecting a different personality, we're not at all like the person that we were. So, in truth, We play many roles. We have many roles that we think are reflecting who and what we are. We play the role of a father. We play the role of a mother. We play the role of a husband, a wife. We play the role of a child. We play the role of a brother or sister. We play the role of an employee or employer. We play the roles ad lib, ad infinitum, on and on and on. On and on and on. Beautifully. And we don't think anything about it. Now, since we have this diversity of ability, since we have this magic of our ability to be or pretend to be or play the role of all the variety of characters that we are talking about here, we have the ability to have our values in any way that we want. We have our ability to be who we want, to play the charisma that we want to play the genius that we are, to play the magic that we are. We have that ability. And we can do it right now because all of it dwells right within us. All of it is our core beingness. And it's just a matter of up to me what role I want to play, what being I want to be, what charisma I want to express in my life. And when I decide what being I want to be, what charisma I want to play in my life, how I want to act, well, when I do that, then I have reached a very high level of awareness. Then I live in my magical presence. Then I live in the charisma that says, life is great, everyone is great, I am great, and it's a wonderful world that I live in. Yeah, that's true. When I can come to the point of recognizing that all the world is the theater, all the world is a stage, and all the people are players on that stage. And I too am a player. And I play many, many, many roles. I play the role of husband or wife. I play the role of child or adult. I play the role of leader or follower. I play the role of an infinite variety of characters and an infinite charisma that expresses each character. And I play these roles with great substance, with great personality, with great joy, great genius. And people believe me. They believe I'm a father. They believe I'm a mother. They believe I'm a brother or sister. They believe that I am a human being. They believe that I'm a divine being. They believe whatever it is that I believe about myself. And I have the ability to role model, to play for myself, whatever it is that I choose to be. Can I choose to be the all? Can I choose to be the is? Can I choose to be God? Can I choose to express a charisma that is so winning and so compelling that people just are drawn to me and want to be in my presence and want to be around me, and I want to be around me because I am delighted with the charisma that I am. Yes, 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 I am delighted with the charisma that I am. How wonderful that is. I can do that because I am the all. I can do that because I am the is. I am that which is. I have within me, in my mind, in my ability to bring forth and speak about it and utilize it, all knowledge. Imagine if you were just thinking of an iPhone. And you have your iPhone and it has all the capacities of a computer in it, even a keyboard. And you would like to have an external keyboard, like a wireless keyboard, remote, and you could just sit there with your fingers on the wireless keyboard and type away and have it come up on your iPhone, and just like it would on the screen for your computer. And you can do all the things. You can even have a mouse, because you do have wireless, you do have the Blue Note, you have the ability to do these things. And okay, now I have an iPhone, but I don't have a keyboard like that. I have a keyboard which is a little one. And a little keyboard is kind of difficult to work. It is a two-finger keyboard at most. And so it doesn't allow me to use my typing skill as I'd like to use it. So I think to myself, all right, I will create the software to put on my iPhone as a little addition, and it will allow me to use a keyboard. Now, at this moment, I don't know of anyone who has created it, but I'm sure someone has. It is too natural a thing not to create. Now, I don't have to carry the keyboard with me everywhere unless I want to, but it doesn't have to be carried like my iPhone is. But you know, they have keyboards that are plastic and you just roll them up. They have keyboards that shine from a light, and you shine that light down on a table and you just type right on that light on the table, and it sends the signals back to the device, and the device that shines this light out can operate on a battery or on a plug-in any way you like, and it operates for hours and hours and hours and uses virtually no energy and has no moving parts. But you're typing on an invisible, visible keyboard because it's shining on whatever surface you're typing on, and perhaps even your mouse is the light itself too. Now, here I have just taken us through a little journey of imagination. And what kind of a mind does it take to think of the keyboard, to think of the wireless keyboard, the wireless mouse, to think of the ability to transmit this information to my iPhone, for the ability to be on my screen and me to use it just like a computer, for me to use the keyboard that's on the computer on the iPhone itself and not carry anything more around? Or the day will come, as I allow myself to broadly think about it, and as I will have the keyboard on my fingertips, I will have the keyboard in my mind. And as I think this keyboard in my mind, I will think the words. Maybe I won't even have to type them. I'll just think the words, and the words will appear on my screen, because that's what I choose to do. And I will write my books, and I will create mentally, beautifully. You say, wow, that's way out. Yes, it is, isn't it? Well, those things are being done today. Those things are the magic of the mind today. Those things are the charisma that are coming forth. Now, I have just invented all of it for the first time, for me, as though nobody else had a finger in it whatsoever. And I am the creator, and I am the expediter of it. I am the manufacturer of it. I am the one who puts it into thought and puts it into fact. And how wonderful that is. Yes, I have all of this genius. I can have my ideal body with each cell perfect. I can have my ideal computer with each condition that I want carried out perfectly. I can have my ideal thought that I send throughout the universe and create the universe about me. And yet I can have all of this universe in me, in my own inner beingness. All is a matter of who I am, where my values are, what my imagination is, what my charisma is. Life is filled with such excitement and such adventure and such magic, and I'm just beginning to enjoy it. Because I'm beginning to say, that's me, right here, right now, doing exactly what I'm doing. And it is wonderful. Kind of nice to take these journeys once in a while and listen to my values as they shine forth, listen to my charisma, listen to my life. And when I do that, I'm right there. And naturally I should be. And it's fun. Thank you for letting me share with you the fun of playing the games in my mind, in my world, in my being. And know that I bless you so for having joined me, because I love you. I love you. I love you.